Hello. On this week's episode of the United Fate of America podcast, we're talking to Randama Fernando, the co-founder of the Center for Humane Tech. Today, we're covering the negative impacts of social media, and we're talking about the new documentary, The Social Dilemma, which he worked on. Stay tuned for more episodes soon, and make sure you subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Here with Randama Fernando, the co-founder of the Center for Humane Technology, an organization focused on aligning technology with humanity's best interests. He was also a part of the new documentary, The Social Dilemma, which focuses on how tech companies are reprogramming civilization through social media. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Glad to be here.
So can you give the listeners a glimpse at the work that you do at the Center for Humane Tech?
Sure. The Center for Humane Technology is a nonprofit organization of deeply concerned technology and social impact leaders. And we are focused on addressing the harms of social media platforms. So that includes from outrage to polarization to addiction, depression, political manipulation, and perhaps most importantly, the breakdown of shared truth. Because when shared truth starts to break down, we can no longer build empathy by building common ground with each other. And without that, it's really hard to solve big problems. At the Center for Humane Technology, we are working to set the conditions for much better technology to exist. And we do that through a mix of driving broad awareness, building a big movement that we can point at things like advancing new policies right through the law, training technologists, and more. There's a lot going on there, but that's kind of the short version.
So let's just like zoom into the. What methods are you using to tackle these problems that exist in technology that impact our everyday lives?
Well, this is such a complicated problem, right? This is really one of the biggest problems that exists. And so it's actually what we call like a systems conversation, right? Because it involves many different layers. It's not just the companies, it involves the system, it involves the laws that are happening, it involves many different groups of people. So we call that stakeholders, right? So there's consumers, there's policymakers, there's technologists, there's investors, and inside consumers, right, the people who use the products, there's parents, there's kids like you, right? And all of these different groups, there's educators, there's psychologists and therapists and medical professionals. So all of these different pieces, what we do is we look at the different pieces and we say, okay, for this particular group of stakeholders, how can they help to solve the problem? And in each case, there's a different thing that they might be doing. So today, maybe we can talk a little bit about how youth in particular can help to solve this problem, because I'm guessing a lot of your listeners would be really interested in that.
Yeah, so let's zoom in on that, the impact on youth. Now, more and more younger children have access to devices and social media and, you know, this entire vast universe of information and could be misinformation as well. And, you know, these can have consequences in the development of a child, both social and so, especially in this pandemic, we're more reliant on communication through social media and online. So what can we do to make sure that we're staying safe and being responsible and being ethical when we're online?
This is a great question, because this moment has changed, the environment has changed so much from what it's ever been. And we've got to think really thoughtfully about how we want to interact with these technologies. And it's even more important for kids, right? Who may not have thought as much about some of these technologies in the past, but now we're all in it and we're using it. And the problem is when we are immersed in these environments, they do change us, right? Every relationship we have in our lives, every interaction does change us. And so here we have to be aware that when we're in there, the way that it's designed and the way the interactions happen changes our behavior. It actually changes our value system, sometimes for the good and sometimes for the worse, right? So I think one good step, one important place to start with any problem is to understand the problem. So the first thing is to say, okay, well, what is going on here? And in this case, I think that the benefits of social media are very well known. We all know. I mean, there's so much marketing behind it, but also there's truth to it, right? The fact that we are able to connect with people from across the world, right? And many of us who have people we're related to, who we want to keep in touch with, or friends who live thousands of miles away, are able to do that using technology. But I think there are some challenges with social media in particular because of the way it functions. And I think a lot of that is rooted at the fact that there's this giant stage that we end up communicating on. It's like we're all in a big public square and we all have big microphones and we're all talking at once and everyone can see what everyone's doing. And is that really such a good idea? So when we understand that, maybe we can change the way we use these systems and use them more skillfully. We actually have a website called the Ledger of Harm. So at ledger.humanetech.com, there's a whole section about the impact of social media on kids. So anyone who's interested can learn at least the kinds of risks we're playing with here. Fundamentally, I think what's the most relevant thing, I think, for children, anyone, and I don't mean like young kids, all ages, right? Really, from the age you can first start understanding these all the way till college, and this is true of adults as well, is to understand that these systems, what's really going on here is that you are the product. That's really important. And specifically, your next thought is the product, right? So the idea of influencing your next thought and getting you to change your behavior somehow is what's being sold. Like literally, that is where the exchange of money is happening, is people bet on being able to change your behavior. And normally we do that through advertising and we say, okay, that's part of life, advertising. But what's tricky is that those forms of advertising can end up influencing us in ways that we don't understand. And over time, they can have, I think, quite dangerous consequences. In general, I think it's always a good tip to follow the money, to understand where money is flowing, because that tells you about the incentives of people, right? Like, no matter what they say, the money tells you what they're actually intending to do. And in the case of advertisers, it's pretty tricky, right? Because when advertisers are paying to buy this influence of you, there's some real risk.
So, and I talked about your documentary earlier, and it was a very eye-opening documentary, I think, that just provides insight into this, this advertising scheme and you know, buying and selling your information online through social media platforms. And one thing that you touched base on in your documentary is information and misinformation. So, you know, I think it's so important that we believe and look at real facts, not misinformation. So what can kids do to distinguish information and misinformation?
That's a great question. First, let me touch a little bit on the film. So this film called The Social Dilemma, it's really helpful because it describes how social media works and the harms that it creates. But it's all explained by insiders who helped to build the products, right? They're people who understand this stuff so deeply and were around when a lot of the decisions were made early on. And in this time, when kids and all of us are on these platforms more than ever, it's really important that we understand those implications. the other valuable thing I think for your audience is that this film makes it much safer to start conversations about this kind of topic, like misinformation or social media or devices or addiction. What is going on? Can we talk about it, right? One of the important things is to, when these problems are happening, we've got to be able to bring it out, and it's got to be safe to do that. And now when you bring it up, you could be fairly sure, because more than 40 million people have seen this film already in just about 2 months. So there's a lot of support out there. And that's true for kids. That's also true for parents, who are not going to be the only ones asking the questions now. So then to your specific question about information and misinformation, I think it's really important to look at multiple news sources and to try and find work that is well cited. And this is why Wikipedia is generally a good source, because all the citations are out there and there are people from every side trying to edit those articles. And you can, in general, I find that those are quite well balanced. There are websites like allsides.com that have the left, the right, and the center. And you can see it all on one page, which is actually really useful, right? To understand what is everyone seeing, right? And why is your reality so different from mine? Well, it's because you're seeing a very different set of information. So understanding, I think, is a good place to start.
So I'm just going to throw out this hypothetical to you. Say I typed in a certain keyword on Google and the search results pop up. Will they be different than you, for example? Are they tailored to what I have, what information I've consumed in the past, in my past like browsing history? So what I type in and my search results, will they be different than the search results that are given to you?
Yes, unfortunately. And so sometimes that's really useful, right? So in some cases, this is the key thing, is that technology needs to align with our values, right? So what are we looking for? And this is the thing that's often not asked by a lot of the technology. Like, am I coming to the Google search box to find out whether climate change is real? Or am I coming to find out where I can buy a pair of shoes? If I'm coming to buy a pair of shoes, it's perfectly fine for it to say, okay, let's look at what information do I know about this guy? Okay, he might like this pair of shoes. That doesn't feel nearly as dangerous as the idea of saying, oh, some things like the existence of gravity are not to be changed depending on who you ask, right? These are just facts, and saying, yes, gravity's real, we've proven it, right? These are the facts. And you don't want to create a situation where someone who just, if they have some agenda where it's not important or they don't want gravity to be true, suddenly Google starts to give different results and say, oh, gravity isn't true. That's hugely problematic. And that's part of the problem that's happening right now, is that everyone ends up in their own little bubble of reality that's slightly tailored, sometimes very much tailored, depending on how much information is available. They have a different reality. And so then we look at each other and we can't come together because everyone is actually having such a different experience.
And obviously, I think this deepens that polarization. Yes. And so just your documentary, The Social Dilemma, I thought it was done in a very easy to understand way, where it's like they have a movie scenes in between of the documentary scenes, and it's scary if you look at it, how that the computer and I put double quotes there, the computer is slowly building almost an entire replica of the person and just tailoring and selling and buying information about them. So I'm wondering, is this what's really happening behind computers and behind social media? And are all social media outlets doing this? And what can we do to stop this buying and selling of information?
Well, the tricky thing is actually what's What's actually going on is more of a buying and selling of behavior, because they're actually not selling the information. They use the information, but they'll be really quick to point this out. That's actually one of the common things that people talk about is when we talk about it in terms of data, then the companies say, oh, hey, no, I'm not selling any of your data. Don't worry about that. But what they're actually selling is they're auctioning the ability to influence you, right? They're saying, because the whole business model is predicated on the idea that, don't worry, when they're talking to the advertiser, right? Don't worry, I can convince Sattvic to buy your product. So give me some money, because I will show your ad. I will find the right person to see your ad who is susceptible to your ad, right? And sometimes that's just not a harmful thing, but in other times it can be very dangerous, especially when it comes to political advertising, when it's possible to actually advertise in some cases without fact-checking, right? Because some of the platforms don't fact-check political ads, even though they fact-check other types of ads. So that just allows this kind of, again, fragmentation of the population, different messages to different people. And then you start to have fragmentation of reality, which is very dangerous.
Yeah. And just one last question that I want to touch base on is kids, you know, the youth, what can we do to dismantle and make sure that technology is more humane and to make sure that technology is more suited for us and to make sure that we're safe while we're online? What can we as kids do to help make technology better and safer?
That's a great question. And that's sort of the ultimate question, right? I would say there's two parts to that. The first part is just protecting yourself, right? Before you start to solve the problem, you have to make sure that your brain is safe, right? And I think a big part of that is on social media, when you're interacting, share with just the smallest number of people that you actually need to share with, right? If you want to say something or you want to be vulnerable, you need to know that it's a safe space. And guess what's generally not a safe space? Is platforms where there's tons of people looking at you all at the same time, right? Because you can't predict how they'll understand you or they'll misinterpret something you said. So try to build small groups that you trust, and then you can be more open and you can be safe. Don't play the game of likes, comments, and shares, because that's the thing, right? When you play on the big stage and you're just trying to evaluate yourself based on how popular your post was, then you get into this game that actually starts to change you, and you start to be very much addicted to these metrics of like, oh, how popular am I? How popular was my post? Oh my gosh, people didn't like it. And that's probably not what you intend to spend your life doing, right? Is to constantly be wondering how other people are perceiving you and your last post. Instead, you should be working from what's important to you and how you want to be helpful, right? To the world, to your friends, and just like focus on that. So that's the first part. The second part is making your voice heard. That's the answer. Everybody, all the youth that are out there need to make their voice heard. This film, right, The Social Dilemma, has, like I said, it's been watched by more than 40 million people. So they are ready. The world is ready to hear your voice. This is the moment to share it. And what we've done is we've created a website called socialtruth.humanetech.com. If you go there, you can share your story, your experience, and the harms that you have experienced directly on social media, just in an authentic way, and be like, look, here's what happened, whatever it is, right? Everyone's got a different story. But sharing that story is critical, because it helps to make many of the stories that are invisible visible. Right? Because people can't see, if they don't know, and I think it's very easy also for the platforms to hide and just not worry about these issues because they're hidden. And a lot of times it's hard to share them. It takes a lot of strength to do that. And so what we're doing is we're trying to get behind that and give a lot of leverage to anyone who speaks out about these problems. So that's what will happen next. It's like, first we gather all the stories, but then these stories can then be shared, right? With politicians, with people who want to change the system, with technologists who are concerned. There are tons of technologists inside these companies who care deeply about children and their experience. And so by sharing your story, it'll go directly to their ears. And then they'll make changes. People will make changes. This system is going to change. And I think the youth are a huge part of making that change happen.
Yeah, and if you want to make change, you have to speak out and share your story. And and thank you so much for joining me today on this podcast. And stay safe.
I am so glad to be here. Thank you.
Welcome. If you didn't catch it in the interview, the websites where you can share your story is socialtruth.humanetech.com. The website for the Center for Humane Tech is humanetech.com, where you can find more information on their organization, as well as listen to their podcast, Your Undivided Attention. You can watch The Social Dilemma on Netflix. I'll leave all the links in the description below. Thanks for listening to this episode of the United Faith of America podcast. Make sure you stay tuned for more episodes and subscribe so you can get the latest content. Thanks for watching, and happy Thanksgiving.